Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Donna Ganny, and I'm with Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. radio program. And I'm also joined here, I am the host of the show, and I'm joined with Apostle Paulia Samakodia of Christ for the Africans Ministry, which is located in Dallas, Texas. We will be discussing our series, Kingdom Keys series, about strong Christian leadership. And today's topic is we're going to be talking about the most profound leadership style of all, and that is the leadership style of Jesus Christ. So I hope that you're going to be listening along with us and calling in and giving us your thoughts, sharing insights, your key insights into the leadership style of Jesus Christ. We would love that. We also are here every Thursday, 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 a.m. Central Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We do look forward to you joining us and sharing your thoughts as well. We just love you, Body of Christ. Before we begin, I'm going to ask that Reverend Paulius, if you can open us up in prayer before we go off into this topic, because we need much insight from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we go along the way.
Let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have given us a very blessed day today. Father, this discussion that we are coming to make, without you, we can do nothing. So we are inviting your Holy Spirit to take absolute control of ourselves. Come and reveal to us the style, the leadership style of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be able to know how we should lead our people. Our Father, we cannot do anything without you. So we ask your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, O Lord, and rebuild your peoples, rebuild everything to us, that the people that are listening to us will understand how we should lead them. We thank you. We glorify your holy name, because we know without you, we are nothing. We thank you that you have come. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Apostle Paulius, for communicating to the Father for us now in this hour. I want to talk about a few things to the body of Christ about leadership. You know, the reason why it's so important for those that are in position to lead others, that you also are equipped and empowered with the sound biblical kingdom insights on how to perform as a Christian leader. Why is that? Well, oftentimes pastors are trained to preach behind the pulpit, and also the history of Jesus Christ or the history of the Bible, history of the Jews. Pastors are taught how to understand the Hebrew and the Greek, the homiletics, semiletics, and many other areas. But as far as leading the body of Christ, I believe that we have failed in so many areas and so many dimensions. So what we, the body of Christ, I'm imploring and asking is that we go back and we begin to look at the leadership style of Jesus Christ to get a profound understanding of how he led the disciples and also the legacy that he left behind for the body of Christ to lead. We don't only focus on pastors because the body of Christ, Jesus left gifts behind for the body of Christ, which is the apostolic, prophetic, the pastoral, the teaching, and also the evangelist gifts. So I believe that each role must have leadership capabilities in order to be able to perform effectively in their role to the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has set forth for the body of Christ. Now, firstly, Christian leaders are servants, because Jesus specifically addressed servant leadership in Matthew 20, 25 through 26, and also in John 13, 1 through 17, where he defines a servant leader as one who humbly serves others based on his love for them. Okay, now how do we love the body of Christ unless we know the love of Jesus Christ? Secondly, Christian leaders are godly servants, not just leaders, not just any servant, but a Christian leader or godly servant. So this is in reference to your character. What most often distinguishes Christian from non-Christian leaders is your character. Your character displayed at home, your character displayed before men, and your character displayed before God. So many in the business world acknowledge the importance of character. Godly character is the essential ingredient that qualifies Christians to lead. So you can be a leader in the body of Christ. You may also be a Christian that is leading in the secular environment, but you must adapt to Jesus' leadership style and ways, and those that were set down as a legacy, and we can see that it transcended into the apostles as they were going and building up the churches for that we are to be experiencing today. Thirdly, believing leaders, that means you must believe in Jesus Christ so you know where you are going. This involves that the leader's directions, the leader's need, both in ministry mission and ministry vision, must reflect the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, which we can see that in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. All Christians' leaders, that would include your board, your staff, your ushers, your lay leaders, all of those that are in position and serving in the assembly unto God, as well as those that are in secular environments, you must be moving in the same biblical direction or there will be chaos in that environment. Fourthly, Christian leaders have followers. Leadership implies followers must be present. So if a person has no followers, in most cases, he's not really a leader. Now, can you have one person as a follower? Yes. Can you have two persons as a follower? Yes. But in order to lead someone, you must have a follower. And it definitely should be under the leadership style of Jesus Christ. Finally, this is my last statement of the introduction. Jesus' leadership style should be the only way for the Christian leader to lead the body of Christ in the direction of the Great Commission that was founded by Jesus Christ. So every vision should encompass the Great Commission that Jesus Christ set forth here on earth, in the heart of the Father. So we're going to discuss Jesus Christ's leadership style today. So Apostle Paulius, let's look at Jesus Christ's leadership style. for the Great Commission. Would you like to share your thoughts and discuss with the body of Christ your important points on this topic today?
Yes, ma'am. You see, the leadership of Jesus Christ went completely against the flow of society because his goal was completely different from society. So when you look at the society today, we have 8 style of Jesus Christ that we are going to talk today. 8 styles. Number one, Jesus' style of leadership, number one, is love your enemies. Love your enemies. He demonstrated how we should love our enemies. But in the society, we see our enemy as a competitor. We treat enemy as your competitor. But in the style of Jesus Christ, we say we should love our enemies. You see the difference? We see the difference. The society will treat the enemy as our competitor. By us, you adopt the Jesus Christ style of leadership, it means we should love our enemies. That is number one. We should love our enemies. You know, it's difficult for people to love their enemies. We see our enemies as somebody who is against us. We see an enemy as somebody who is not for us. We see an enemy as somebody who is totally against us. And Jesus Christ say we should love our enemies. So that is the style, number one. Jesus said we should love our enemies. Number two, he said we should do good to those who hate us. Number two, he said we should do good to those who hate us. But when you look at the society, it diminishes strength and influence of those who oppose us. It diminishes the strength and influence of those who oppose us. But Jesus Christ said we should do good to those who hate us. Number three, he said we should bless those who curse us. Somebody curse you, instead of you to reply him, he said we should bless them. In the society, he said discredit those who defame you or your credibility. By Jesus Christ I say we should bless those who curse us. That is number three. Number four, the society say we should pray against those who mistreat us. We should pray against those who mistreat us. By the style of Jesus Christ, he said we should pray for those who mistreat us. We should pray for those who mistreat us. But in the society, we should pray against those who mistreat us. That is number four. And number five, say we should gradually accept persecution. the Son of Jesus Christ said we should accept persecution. By the word, the society say we do everything to avoid negative opinion. We do everything to avoid negative opinion. That is number 5. And number 6, Jesus say we should give to those who seek to rob from us. Somebody who wanted to rob us, we should give to those who seek to rob us. And the society say despise those who want something for nothing, develop a defensive posture. That is worldly or the society. By the style of Jesus Christ, we should give to those who seek to rob us. That is number 6. And number 7, the worldly people or the society say we should give only when the return is greater than gifts. We should give only when the return is greater than the gift. And Jesus Christ's style of leadership say, lend without expecting return. Lend without expecting return. And number 8, the last one. The worldly people say we should exploit the weakness and mistakes of others. And the Jesus Christ star say we should be merciful. We should be merciful. But the worldly people say we should exploit the weakness and mistake of others. So this 8 star or 8 things that I have mentioned is where the whole world is looking at. In the society, the whole world, these 8 things that I've mentioned, you definitely will come across in the society. So the leadership of Jesus Christ, he went completely against the flow of the society. The society flow, but Jesus Christ went completely against the flow of the society, because his goal was completely different from society. So this is the style of leadership Jesus Christ came to show us, that if we want to lead, first, we should love our enemies. 2, we should do good to those who hate us. 3, we should bless those who curse us. 4, we should pray for those who mistreat us. 5, we should accept persecution. 6, we should give to those who seek to rob from us. 7, we should lend without expecting return. And 8, we should be merciful. So all these things, Jesus Christ demonstrated it to the society, that we see him to be unique. You see him that this man has come with the kingdom of God. We see him that the society were against his teaching. But he stood. He did, He did not force the society to come and follow him, by as he demonstrated it, those whom he taught as his disciples were able to identify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. They demonstrated that they have ushered into the kingdom of heaven. So in all, what we are looking at is love. He demonstrated that God is love. And because God is love, we should also love. First, we should love God with our whole heart, then we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Apostle. I agree with you. Those are definitely traits that should be displayed in the Jesus leadership style for the Christian leader of today. I see that we have been joined with Reverend Boley. Reverend Betty Shelby of Boley, Oklahoma, Amos Temple. And Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to share some of your thoughts on what the Jesus leadership style, how the Christian leader should adapt to the Jesus leadership style?
Amen. Praise the Lord. On Jesus leadership style, I think about when he said follow me. When he asked, when he was going down the road and he went by Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. And you know, as a tax collector, you oppress people, you take things from people, and even your friends, your own self, in order to make fit the budget. And you know, Zacchaeus was the head of the tax collectors, who would give them a certain amount of money every certain amount of number of money to make every day, and they had to make it regardless of what was going on. So here, this particular day, here is Jesus, and he's going down, and he says to Matthew, follow me. And I like that, when he said, follow me, that he left everything, the money, all that. He left it to follow Jesus. And that comes to, that is a leadership right there by itself, that we can drop everything and to follow Jesus, regardless of our situation, regardless of what's going on, and follow him and let him lead us and guide us. With him following him, there became a change in Matthew. And when this change came, even Zacchaeus was wondering. He said, well, what kind of man is this that can just come take my people? You know, that is awesome. But we have to look at ourselves. Jesus Christ asked us to follow him, to accept him and follow him. And when we follow Jesus Christ, he leads us into, I want to use the 23rd Psalm, the path of righteousness. He leads us beside the still waters. He even leads us when there is a storm arising. He leads us in the quietness of the storm. To follow Jesus, I want to say that to all those, it's a peace of mind. Jesus was one who said that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us, he would be with us all the way to the end. And with his disciples, he would teach them, and he would do little simple things as he taught his disciples. Peter, for instance, he named him a stone. cipher, a stone, because he knew that eventually Peter was going to be the rock, you know, and he was going to be the one that's going to stand for him. Peter was a man that did just about anything. He was a diligent man. You say do it, he did it. He didn't pay the consequences. He just did it. He was eager. But there came a time when he said, when Jesus told him that he must die and he's going to suffer by the hands of the people. And Peter, he said, you know, nobody's going to touch my Jesus. Nobody's going to touch my Jesus. And Jesus had to speak to him and tell him, Satan, get thee behind me. He said, but Peter, I pray for you, because Satan wishes to sift you as wheat. That's teaching. Because when we, that's leadership. Because we need to have that mindset of Christ, that we can see the enemy in the person, that we can pray for that person. As Apostle Paulus was saying, that to love our enemies, we have to, it's not the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the spiritual wickedness and rulers in high places. That's the demonic spirit. They try to take rule. And if we pray and to Jesus and to help us to see what he sees and to bind up the enemy, because he says in his leadership, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Those are one of the warfare scriptures that he has given us. And there are many warfare scriptures that we should walk in and pray. Amen. I just got on, so I just share that part with you. To follow Jesus is awesome. It's not easy days, and they're not going to be all bad days. But I guarantee you at the end, you'll come forth as your goal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the key characteristics of Jesus' leadership styles also is that he was very genuine about his principles or truth. So he was so genuine that he was able to capture the audience of masses of people. But also because he was, very fixed in his principles, when he said, come follow me, as Reverend Betty Shelby said, people did it without hesitation. Although that there were times that some of the people left, some of the followers left, but those that were walking in the same spirit of Jesus Christ and that desired to follow him, they followed. So he had such a brilliance about himself that was permeating into the society that people wanted to capture, you know, they were captivated by it and wanted to take a role in what he was doing, and they believed in it, and they wanted to also come closer to the nature of God, to the divine nature of God. Now, what is it that a leader has that divine nature? It's Jesus Christ in them. So when Jesus Christ is in you, you should be able to also be displaying that same trait, that same dazzling display that Jesus had with the people in that day, that when he was here on earth, that they wanted to be close and follow it. So he lived a true leadership. He was in the truth and spirit of God. He kept himself virtuous. Amen.
Amen.
He kept himself virtuous. And he also he understood. He was very compassionate. He was understanding to certain circumstances. So you can have someone in the midst of you, such as Peter, who's saying, with such an excitement and a zeal for you that they're willing to cut somebody's ear off. But Jesus didn't say, Peter, you can't follow me anymore because you cut this person's ear off. No, what he did is he put the ear back on the individual. Then he also, without being angry and perturbed, Jesus quietly healed the servant's ear, and then he reproved Peter and yet was still kind to him. But he was firm, and he reproved Peter, but yet after the fact he was kind to Peter. Even Peter went and he said three times before the cock crows, he denied Jesus. But Jesus knew that Peter had a purpose in his kingdom for him at a due season and time. So he still was patient and understanding. He was a pleading and loving leader. So does it mean that you don't reprove? No. If the Holy Spirit is in you is showing that there's need for reproof and firmness, yes. But it doesn't mean to totally cast or bring a person into condemnation. As long as they're breathing, you should be able to take understanding and patience with them, as Jesus did with the others, because Jesus loved them. He had a perfect love for them. He listened to them without being condescending. These are good common traits for the Christian leader of today. We also see that he loved his followers to the point that he was able to level with them, meaning that he would come down to their level and serve them. He would come down to their level and partake in the things that they were partaking of. He came down here to earth and leaving a perfect abode to be in the midst of the people. So that means that we have to come off of our high levels or our hierarchies or our titles to come down into the level of being Christ-like. Amen.
Amen.
He also, the Bible Amen. Tells us that, you know, we should be able to take instructions from others because iron sharpens iron. It's not that because we are now a Christian leader or a Christian that is serving in as a leader in secular environments that we should take that as a thumb to rule the people without being able to take reproof, without being able to take discipline, or without being able to take sound biblical instruction. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:31-32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that hear reproof getteth understanding. Why do we need that understanding? It's very important that the body of Christ have that understanding. Because even with Solomon, he asked for understanding. He asked for understanding, but God said, I will not only give you understanding, but I will give you wisdom. So you can have knowledge. You can have head knowledge that tells you that if you walk from point A to point B, you will get this. But until you actually begin to walk off in it and take understanding, you may have still some blind sight along the way. And being able to get connected with strong biblical leaders that understand Jesus' leadership style is giving you taking you to the next level that you need to be in to be able to be successful in your leadership over the body of Christ. Now, not only over the body of Christ, I'll say this again, but also in your secular environment that you exist in. Because without that, if you're not leading, you will be following. And if you are following, you are not leading. So it's a wise leader who can cope with the reproof of life. It's a wise leader because Peter learned from all of that reproof. He learned the nature of Jesus Christ. He learned the nature of God here on earth and what it would be like to serve for him. Not only serving for him, but to serve others. And what is that serving? Is it just simply washing someone's feet? No. That serving is helping that person to be connected, because when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, I'm sure that there was a transfer that would keep them connected for a lifetime with him. Amen? So it's a being able to transfer the servanthood leadership style of Jesus Christ into that individual. You will truly serve them to the point where there will be transformation, where there will be change, where there will be the likeness of Jesus Christ with them, and they will also be connected to the vine and be able to walk in the nature of the vine to bear their proper fruit. Jesus was also a selfless leader, very selfless leader. So he went well beyond what is called beyond the call of a duty, because if you look at your leadership style as a position or a duty, you will become like a robot. You will come in and you will go out just only because it's your position or your title or your duty. But as a Christian leader, you have to go beyond the call of duty. Because when you become desensitized to the things around you and you don't have, you shouldn't allow your feelings to rule, but you should have the feeling of a compassion of Christ in you, that you are aware of what is going on in your surroundings and that you also care about what is going on in your surroundings. And you also have a desire to fix the problems that exists in the environment that you exist in, because God will have you positioned there for a reason. Jesus was tirelessly working to fulfill what we have been destined to as the Great Commission. That means at times he was not sleeping. At times he was not eating, because he was fasting and sitting in the glory of God, so that he would be able to revelate that vision here on earth. He was effective in what he was doing. So the body of Christ, as Christian leaders, we should be able to impact our environment. We should be effectively impacting our environment around us. It should not be at a standstill that only we are looking at it and saying, this is how this is. We should be rather transforming it into the likeness of Jesus Christ, because that is what Jesus did when he was here on earth. That was his leadership style. So if there is an abortion clinic in your environment, and you know that it's not wrong, it's not the legislation that will remove it. It is your prayer and abiding and decreeing that these things never exist around you here on earth. If there is a liquor store in the midst of your church, if there are drug addicts hanging around in the midst of your church, if you are praying and if you are in constant connection with God, those things cannot exist around you, because where the presence of the Lord is, hallelujah, where the light of the Lord is, darkness cannot tread. Amen? Jesus' leadership style emphasized the importance of being discerning with regards to others without seeking control over them. He wasn't here saying, you have to follow me. No. He wasn't here standing behind the pulpit and using the pulpit as a stepping stone over the people. He was using his voice to teach the people and encourage them into the likeness of God. So he cared about freedom. He cared about followers having a free will to choose the direction that they would be taken in the kingdom of God. It wasn't by force. It wasn't coercive. It wasn't beguiling. It wasn't manipulative. It was truth and spirit. In truth and spirit did he reign. He wasn't trying to force anyone to follow after him. He gave them the truth and allowed them to make a choice to follow the truth or to choose to believe a lie. But he was determined and he didn't give up because he said, if you go after one sheep, the one lost sheep that is out there, then I think as the body of Christ, we'll be doing a great work because we'll be following the leadership style of Jesus Christ. We cannot be like the secular leaders who try to rush to solve problems, to seek to stop present pain. So we have to wait upon the Lord to be able to deliver, to be able to be responsive. We have to be able to make sound decisions, as Jesus did when they brought the woman who had committed adultery. He didn't respond immediately. He took time to ponder on his response to the public before the lady would have been persecuted by the law of that day. He didn't respond to the pain of point of the moment. He waited and he pondered on it before acting. So we also have to wait upon the Lord for conscious, wise decision making responsibility in this hour, because it can become more painful later if we don't. So Jesus was very responsible. He was very responsible. So he was very involved in the disciples' process of life. He was very involved in their development. He was very much so teaching them daily. He wasn't just waiting for Sunday, one day of the week, to give the leaders up under him or the ones that he was developing to fulfill the Great Commission. He didn't wait for a time and a season. He spent much time with them. He also was credible. He was credible to them. Everything that he implored was in the likeness of the kingdom of God and to fill the Great Commission. So if we have followers and they come to us and we brush them off, we are not being responsible. We are not being responsible. At least take time to schedule a time that fits in your time to help that individual to grow and to learn and to develop into the likeness of Christ. We are in the equipping and empowering of Jesus Christ's business, not our own. And it is not a duty and a position. It is not a title. But it is the fulfilling of the Great Commission. So we have been placed here on this planet in order to perform and grow. Amen. So we can give we can give corrective feedback to others, but let us do it in a loving and helpful way so that they can make mistakes and also learn from them. We can also, that's a part of our responsibility. It's a part of a Christian leader's responsibility. And we have to be accountable. I think that from past learnings, we can see for the Christian leaders that if you're accountable in what you're doing, Jesus was very much so accountable for his actions. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He, at the time when it was a time for him to be out in the open, he was in the open. He was very truthful about what he was doing. When he said what he was saying, he didn't care what people, what the actions and the thoughts of the people were going to be. He was accountable for what he said. He was not trying to change people for the betterment of the people. He was trying to change people for the good of God. So it's very important that we remain accountable, accountable with God, accountable with man, accountable with followers, accountable at every, in our home, accountable with no-fault human behavior, no-fault spiritual behavior. Amen? We also have to be accountable as Christian leaders following Jesus. We have to be accountable for the decisions that we set forth in the body of Christ, because Jesus was accountable when he said to pray a certain way. Jesus was accountable when he told them to drink of his blood and eat of his food, knowing that in that time and season that a person that has a carnal mind would want to destroy you. But yet Jesus remained accountable for what he said. We have to be remain accountable in our actions with each other. Now, we also, Jesus was wise. And again, I will refer back to the lady who had committed adultery and they brought her before Jesus. If he had not responded in such a wise manner, there could have been, the lady could have been stoned. There could have been many actions taken from that one instance. There was a crowd of people ready to take action. But because Jesus responded with wisdom, it was able to defeat the mindset of the people and destroy the work of the enemy. Amen. Apostle Paulius, do you have anything else that you would like to share over the leadership style of Jesus Christ?
Yes, ma'am. You see, it is imperative that God's people become the kind of leaders who seek leadership in response to the true need of humanity. The humanity, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? You see, Jesus Christ came and said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody can go to the Father but except through me." So he saw the need of the people. The people need life. So he was trying to show us where we should get life. That is the need of the humanity. We all need life. So his leadership style, he has the purpose. He knew where he was going, and he knew who are willing to follow. He was not concerned about how many people are following me. He was not concerned about that. But his concern was, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. And nobody go to the Father except me as a leader that I'm showing to the people. He came as God's own way, because when you look at the society has been falling. And God needs somebody to come and show us the way. So he has his people. And he was driving us to his goal. His goal was to show us the way to the Father. His goal was to give life. Because in this society, in our worldly society, people are not seeking to live. People's mindset is worldly things. But we are not, after the worldly things, we want life. And this life is somewhere. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. So they went somewhere. So now, God wants us to come back to the Garden of Eden and eat the tree of life. The tree of life is not where the people has went. They went, he drove them from the Garden of Eden. They went far away from God. And Jesus was born to the society that he need to go back to the Father. So he came to show us the way, how we can go back to the Father in the Garden of Eden. So his purpose is to show us the way to go back to the Father. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and life. Nobody goes to the Father except to me. So he was going back to the Father. And they have to show us the way, show the people how to get back to the Father. So his lifestyle was against the flow of the society. The society said, when you have enemies, when your enemies treat you wrongly, you have to, like Moses, when somebody cuts your hand, you cut his right hand. Eye to an eye, but Jesus came and changed the situation. He changed the situation. The situation was merciful. We should be merciful because God has been merciful to us, and he wants to give us another chance to come back to the Garden of Eden, to fellowship with him, to have fellowship with the Father. So he was constructing a way back to the Father, so that we should have fellowship with the Father. And if you have the fellowship with the Father, we will not lack anything on this earth, because when you fellowship with the Father will reveal himself to you. He will show you how to get it. That's why he said, we should seek his kingdom first, and all other things shall be added. He knows that we need material things, but he's not going to give us material things unless he takes us to the Father, to have fellowship with the Father. So when the Holy Spirit is with you, the Holy Spirit will show you how the material things will follow, because everything is the Father. Everything belongs to the Father. So first of all, you have to lead us to the Father, to have fellowship with the Father. That is the most important thing, to have fellowship with the Father. So we should ask ourselves to churches that has been established now, do they teach their people how to have fellowship with the Father? No. They don't teach how to have fellowship with the Father. They don't teach. You see? They only, even pray yourself, they don't teach how to pray. But when you look at the model of how Jesus Christ, gave to his disciples, that if you want to pray, know that He's our Father. When you say our Father, it means not you alone have that Father. The Father also have children. So you have to know that the Father also have the children. So you should think about our Father in plural. But so when you think that our Father have children, then you will definitely love your fellow human being. And you say, hello, be done your name. So you will not do anything that will spoil the name of God. You want to give God names, or want to make God's name to be hallowed, to be sanctified, to be holy. So your doings should give honor to God. But now, right now, Christianity, it's like the worldly people. There's no thing that we can differentiate Christians and the worldly people. We are like them, and they are like us. So who is now leading? So nobody's not leading. But if you can take the stock yourself, that people are looking, even if people are not looking, you have to do something that will attract people, your community, that you are doing something different. Like this clinic that the Holy Spirit has instructed me to build. You know, it's a type of leadership that I'm creating. When I finish, you see how many people will come and follow me. Because I'm not building like how the people are building a church. I'm doing it another style way, how I can create people, how I can make things different. That people will look at it and say, this is another style way to win the people. It did not come by my own ideas. It was the fellowship with the Father who gave me this vision. So as a vision, I'm not going to sit down and say, let me get people to follow me before we build the clinic. No!
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We definitely... As the body of Christ, we definitely have to remain focused in the vision of Jesus Christ and the direction that He has for us to take. One thing that the body of Christ have to take in remembrance is that as Apostle Paulus was saying in the beginning, this Christian leadership, Jesus leadership style, even though it was not a one-man show, because Jesus wanted the disciples to do exactly as He did. And when He did that, He imported Himself into them. He baptized them in the Holy Ghost. He baptized them in the fire, and they were also baptized in the water. So we know that as Christian leaders, we are to import the Christ in us into the body of Christ. That is the only way. Reverend Betty Shelby, do you have any words that you would like to share? Then I'm going to open up the phone lines to some of the callers that we may have in, so that they can share their thoughts on Jesus' leadership style. and how the leader of today can grow and be developed in it. Reverend Betty Shelby.
Praise the Lord. I was sitting here listening to Apostle Paul Paulius and what he was saying. But I was looking at in Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 18, it says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not fall nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust." Here the people were looking for a Messiah to be king. They were looking for a king. And as in Jesus' leadership, he knew who he was. He is the king, but he did not show his kingship. Here he was a quiet, gentle ruler who brings justice to the nation. Like the crowd in Jesus' day, we may want Christ to rule as king and bring great and visible victories in our lives. But often Christ's work is quiet, and it happens according to the perfect time, not ours. And I want to say, as we as leaders who follow Jesus Christ, we know that there are some who want to be great and mighty. But if we come as the humble servant of Christ, learning of him, seeing of him, and doing as he had done, then in his timing, things will start to happen. But we must do the footwork in leadership. Jesus did the footwork in leadership. He came to justify, to show us the way. And we, as he left, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So even at this point, that we should all remember as leaders, we can't get to the Father except through him. Amen.
Amen, amen, Reverend Betty Shelby. And I just want to open up the phone lines for a second for anyone else that want to share their thoughts on what Jesus' leadership style is and how it should be implemented into the body of Christ now. All of those Christian leaders that are serving, and whether it be an apostolic, pastoral, evangelist, teacher, whatever the gifting that you have for the body of Christ, that Jesus Christ have given you, prophetic, why is it so important now that we develop the Jesus leadership style? And also those that work, that are Christians that lead others in secular environments, how can we now develop and transform into the Jesus Christian leadership style instead of remaining stagnant where we are now? Because everywhere Jesus went, he impacted the environment that he existed in. Are we now doing that? Caller, I'm opening up the phones to you. If you have any questions that you would like to ask or anything that you would like to say on the topic that we're discussing today. Okay, any other callers
praise
out
the Lord.
There? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, saints, giving honor to God, all pastors and all the saints on the line. My name is Tracy Brown, and I just want to chirp in a little bit because in my studying this morning, I was studying about love and displaying love and how I just feel like the saints of God today need to display more love. And in the book of Romans, it speaks of gifts that we were given, and we were all given gifts, and we know that. And we have different gifts, and according to his grace, he gave each of us gifts. And I just feel like that in our everyday walking and serving, that we have to teach these gifts to others. We have to not be ashamed of our gifts, and we have to boldly live our lifestyle according to our gifts and the love of Christ as well. And I just wanted to share that this morning.
Amen, amen. Very profound message to the body of Christ, as you said, and I know that's from the heart of Christ, that we should love each other in the body of Christ and also outside in the secular world. There's going to be offenses. There's going to be things. And one of the things that the body of Christ, especially the Christian leaders, need to do now is to lay down and ask God to put that love, the first love that he had in you now, because all of those offenses that you have faced, all of the things people have said at you behind closed door, if it's setting in your heart, it's time for you to go back to the Father and just talk to him and ask him to take it out so you can come back fresh and anew. Because Jesus said this one thing. He said, you have found those people to be false out there. You have seen these things that are going on out there. I'm putting this in layman terms. But, okay, yes, you have seen it, and you know all of these or things are existing. People have backstabbed you. People have did many things to you, because it's not easy as being a leader in the body of Christ, nor is it in the secular world. But you have to continuously reconnect back to the Father so that you can receive that extra flow of love inside of you to be able to surpass and forget about yourself and the drama and move forward in Christ Jesus. Because he said the greatest of these all is charity, is love. The greatest of these all in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So without love, even if you are speaking in tongues, or you are prophesying, whatever you're doing, without that love in your heart, it is a resounding cymbal from the heavens. It is not even entering in, nor does it have any effect to impact the body of Christ. And that's what we are here to do in this hour, Christian leaders. So sure, we made some mistakes along the way, but it's time for you to bounce back in love, in the love of Christ. And our love for Christ is that we see that he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. And our great commission is to lay down our lives for the body of Christ and for those that do not know him, the sick, the sinner, because Jesus said, I am coming for the sick and the sinner. The sick and the sinner. The sinner knows not. He knows not the way unto the light. So we are here to guide them. We are here to show them how to attach to the vine, that they can flow with the vine, the bloodline, the DNA of Jesus Christ, not yourself, but the bloodline and the DNA of Jesus Christ, that they may live and never die, that they will bear a fruit that will give life to someone else, and that they will come and follow and know our Lord and Savior, Yahshua Mashiach, the one anointed one, the Holy One, the one of Israel, the only begotten Son, not ourselves. We're not in this Christian leadership training and this Christian leadership series for you to follow us, but we're in it so that you will follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because when you know him, we know that you are on your way to a journey that will fulfill your life. Your thoughts will never be cloudy. Your moments will never be sad. You will experience a great happiness every day when you wake up. You will say, oh, God, I live. I am not dead. Oh, God, I live. I shall not die, because you are entering into an area where you will have and are capable of experiencing eternal life in your destiny. So take that journey now with us today. And I'm going to ask Apostle Paulius, would you like to lead those that are out there that are listening who do not know Christ in this hour, would you like to lead them to the Father so that they will know him in his intimacy, in Jesus' name?
Before I do that, I just want to share this thing a very little. You see, Jesus came, he was having healing as a thing. So he didn't come to heal the people, but he got to know that the people need something. The people are looking for something. So he used that as a platform so that when the people gather together, he can impart, he can bring his teaching. You know, like he filled 5,000 people. He had to fill them. So the people keep on coming because the people were, they were hungry. They wanted to eat, find something to eat. So he used that thing as an opportunity to gather the people so that he can bring his teaching. He didn't start teaching straightforward. He used something to bring the people together. Like he said, I'll make you fishers of men. You know, when you are fishing, if you have a hook, the hook has to be put something on the hook so that when the hook gets into the water, the fish people will look and see they are coming to eat and the hook will hook them. You see? So we have to be wise. If we want to be leaders, we have to be wise. We have to do something that will attract people. When the people come, then God gives us the message. The message follows. And that message will capture them. And we will usher them into God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the principles that you are showing us, that we should be godly leaders. We should be, adopted Jesus' style of leadership. Father, we pray that you give us more gifts so that we may be able to demonstrate and bring people around us. And when the people come and we minister to them, it will usher them into your kingdom. We thank you. And we say we are grateful to the style of leadership that you have shown to us. Impart us, fill us, that we may be able to do as you have instructed us. We thank you and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to lead the those out there that do not know Christ in this hour, in his trueness and realness? Would you like to share some words with them and just guide them into the prayer of Jesus Christ? And it doesn't have to be any special words, but just be for real with them and bring them into the Lord.
Amen. As we said earlier, you can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can do that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And all you have to say is, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Come in, dear Heavenly Father. Come in and live in me. And by the precious Holy Spirit, that he will give us and he will come and lead us to all truth. That all you have to do is accept. Once you accept, there's a change going on, a change, a true change. So truly accept him and truly accept the change that's going on inside of you. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Praise God for the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Betty Shelby and Apostle Paulius. And I also, too, I just want to lift up the Christian leaders out there that are facing persecution. And I just want to give you some comforting words of encouragement, because we know that even Elijah had ran and went into a cave because he was being pursued by Jezebel. And all of the prophets in the kingdom was being pursued by Jezebel at that time. So we want to just lift you up before Jesus Christ now. And, Father, we just come before your throne of grace. There's all of those that are out there that are suffering from persecution and that are disconnected from you or in hiding, oh God, I pray that you will bring them out and they will be fruitful to your kingdom, that they will be victorious and that you will stop the slaying hand of the enemy. Father, I also ask that you would send forth your holy archangels to surround them like chariots of fire and open the eyes of the enemy to know that you are still God, the only God, the omnipotent God, the all-seeing God, El Roy, and Father, that you have full control of this world, that no man, no woman, no function on this earth is stronger than your power and your might. Father, I also ask that you will go out into the land where there is suffering and there's leaders that do not have food to eat. Christian leaders, oh God, I pray that you will make provisions for them, that you will give them clean water, Father, to sustain, just as you did with Elijah when you took him before the brook, oh God, and you sent ravens to feed him. But I pray, Father, that it will be an amazing and profound blessing to them that they will go out and give testimonies of your grace. Greatness. God, I pray for those, oh Lord, that have fallen and are finding it hard for them to find their way back to your throne, oh God. I pray that you will touch them right now in this hour, that you will touch them in their heart, oh God, that they will come back to you and that they will cling to the cross and that they will take of your DNA, oh God, and that it will be a revelation unto others that they should stand and be faithful to your kingdom. Father, I pray for their families, that you will align them to your will and that they will follow the glory of Jesus Christ and that they will follow and be a lift up the Christian leaders before you, O God, that they will walk in your likeness and your ways. Father, we invite you into all of the environments that they exist in, whether it be pestilence, whether it be destruction, whether it be water that is impure and unclean. Father, I invite you to go in with your mighty hand, Rabbo Hosanna, and release the glory of Jesus Christ into it, that no sickness shall come nigh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we invite you to take full control of those that are in the hospital, oh God. We invite you to touch their body, touch their minds, touch their spirits, touch their mental capabilities, oh God, and bring them into the sound likeness and the understanding of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, have your way in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. We thank God for everything that he has done today. And we thank you, both Reverend Betty Shelby and the callers that have called in. We invite you. We thank you, Apostle Paulius, for being so faithful to the show as well. And we pray that those that are out there listening, that God will quicken you and that he will give you the grace to stand firm and strong in the kingdom of God and bid his will. Take on the leadership of Jesus Christ and be never let it be a burden before you, because he said, cast your burdens unto him and he will take care of everything for you. He has a throne that is open 24 hours a day, so seek him and know his ways. Seek him with all of your might and love God above all things. If you love him above all things, you can never go wrong, and you will always have the love of Christ in you. May Jesus Christ quicken you and abide with you forever and the day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Body of Christ, as it is always, we love you, and we hope that you will come back next week with us as we continue the Christian leadership series, and we'll be on series number 10. And please feel free to follow us and listen to our previous sessions that we have had on Strong Christian Leadership. And we also have our Rapture Ready series, and we have Spirit, Soul, and Body series. And you will be able to just be equipped and empowered for the kingdom of God. Body of Christ, we love you, and may the grace of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.